Hi, this is Mary Elizabeth Macari, the Magic Apothecary. So here we are on Podbean for one of the first, well, the first podcast I'm doing here. I've done others and they're up on YouTube, and I might end up putting them here, but they're kind of old, but still very good and kind of cool. Listening to some music today on my Spotify Pagan Wiccan playlist, which you can find, but was created by somebody named Maggie Pagan. And this is something called Moon Chant for Spring by Marie Bruce, Chris Conway. And it's a cool little earthy mix. So I'll turn that down a little bit. Anyway, so why am I here? What are we doing? I thought of this just now, and I think I'll say it and say it again. I do a lot of different things. I'm also a singer, a professional singer that does cabaret work and other such things in New York City and around. I'm doing all kinds of eclectic work from the early 20th century. But I use my voice as an extension of the goddess, and that is what I do on stage and try to do on stage, just sing for her and with her and open my throat and body to her words and music created by other people, and now starting to do my own as well, writing my own meditative works, which you can find under my name, Mary Elizabeth Macari, on Spotify. So I'll put some of those up here too, and we'll just make a whole big collection of stuff for you guys. I have a lot of videos up on YouTube, instructional videos, but there's no reason for me not to be here as well. So what is this podcast? What is this for? Well, it's free for now because I was just reading that it is important, and I agree, to put one's work out in the world freely, without too much expecting too much back from people, not constricting the flow of energy. If there's money to be had, it will come your way. That's being said, money. I do actually do YouTube readings with chat that is monetized, and also I create and work with people individually on teaching and also creating spells and or magical workings for them, as well as reading tarot cards, astrology charts, etc., etc. So I'm here as a spiritual life coach, a witch, a spiritual midwife, a shaman, whatever you want to call me, but that's what I do. I do this all in the European, not just Northern European, but the European from the Middle East all the way up to Scotland, England, Scandinavia. That is my heritage. I am European descent, but all of it, because one of my parents came from the south of Europe and the Middle East, and the other one came from the north. So I'm kind of a mixed bag of things. And I have studied all of that pagan thought, magic, and I've tried to apply that in my life as often as possible. So that being said, I have information to give out. So today I'm going to talk about what is smart magic. And what is it that people come to learn who are not just into spooky, wooky things? This is an opinion piece, so I'm good at op-editing. So I'm going to do it and say quickly here what this is. I went into authentic study because, pardon me, before I was pagan, I was a devout Catholic who had studied Catholicism in great detail. As a matter of fact, I very much was dedicated to the Virgin Mary and wanted to become a nun as well, do work of Jesus on this earth, but came to be disenchanted with that religion over time and put my energy into studying paganism as deeply as I was devout Catholic. I was and became a devout pagan. So to me, when people put on black lipstick and fluff their hair up and wear a pointy hat and sexy underwear and call themselves a pagan or a witch, it kind of disturbs me. And that's only because there are people out here who take that all very seriously. And it's a spiritual path for many of us, a spiritual path as deep and thick as would be any of the three major religions on the planet, or of Buddhists or Taoists or whomever else, or any other kind of religious path. And when somebody comes in wearing black lipstick and leopard panties and says they're a witch, or goes to Salem and buys a bag of conjuring wood or something from a store that is not run by pagans, but by other people who are just trying to make a dollar, it makes people like me a little nervous. I'm getting water. There we go. Makes me a little nervous and a little angry. So, pardon me again. Why is my throat blocking? See? That's something to think about. I'm talking about an opinion of mine, and my throat is blocking. Interesting. I would say to somebody who was a client, why is your third chakra closing down on you when you're trying to talk about an opinion of yours? Well, there'd be a reason for that. Certainly, as I'm saying what I'm saying, I'm imagining people getting upset with me and not liking what I have to say, both as a witch slash pagan and also as a woman who's saying, well, I don't approve of your leopard panties. I like leopard panties. Actually, I have a lot of leopard panties. I'm quite into leopard print myself, but that doesn't give me witch power. Well, maybe it does in some certain ways. It does give me sexual power, and sexual power equals power. So if that's what you're doing with your black lipstick and your leopard panties, I salute you. But if you're just putting on the external of someone, it's almost like saying, oh, a bishop wears a mitre hat and a robe, and so if I wear a mitre hat and a robe, then I'm a bishop. Or a rabbi has a long beard sometimes in some sects and wears a certain kind of clothing. So if I wear that clothing and grow my beard, then I will be a rabbi. That's what it is to me. And also it comes from a lot of stereotypical things that go on in movies like The Craft or other movies about witchcraft that go further back into the, you know, Hammer films, horror films about witches being hypersexualized and almost, you know, always sleeping with vampires and devils. So, no. So I say no. Our ancestors, all of our ancestors from wherever part of the planet we're from, and that means Native American, African, Northern or Southern poles, you know, as people that are Inuit or up into Scandinavia, into Russia, up all the way through all of the United States, Indian, Asian countries, Asians were, of course, for centuries, and still do revere their ancestors and their paganism. What does pagan mean? Let's go there first. Pagan. Means just is a pagano, and that was a word that was, it's just an Italian word that means country dweller. That's all it meant, because the people in the country in ancient Rome were unable to really learn much about Roman Catholicism or Roman Christianity, so they didn't really get with the program right away because they didn't know what he was, and they were still revering and praying to their ancient gods and goddesses and the earth itself. So they were called pagans because they weren't converted. And so now anybody who's not, I guess, Christian, Jewish, or Muslim are considered pagan. So that's ridiculous, but that's the overarching word that people use. Paganism is now used like as a form of a neo-paganism. Neo-paganism is something that came to fore in the mid to late 20th century and was revitalized through movements like Wicca, and it was rediscovered by many, many people because of that. That's a long story and something we'll talk about another time. It's kind of important to know your history, but that's enough for today. I don't want to make people fall asleep, or maybe I do. Sometimes people, by the way, people do listen to my stuff and sleep. So if my voice is peaceful and calming to you and the music behind me makes you relax, that's good, because that's what I'm supposed to do. So mote it be. Let it be so. So paganism, okay, and my opinion about that. I was going to talk a little bit about my own history in paganism and what that is and how I came to it, which I have not really talked about in too much detail, although I've written a bit about it on my websites. I was, as I said, Catholic and religious, and married a man who was not Catholic and started to see my religion sort of from the outside through his eyes, and grew to be very disenchanted with it. Very disenchanted with organized religion that I knew of in general. And I had earlier than that begun some exploration into Hinduism and what was called at the time New Age work. So I was reading books about Edgar Cayce, and I did some work with Course in Miracles. Did a lot of work with that actually for several years. I did started to study astrology, started to study music and herbalism and healing with those forms, a little bit with color healing. Yes, I was a performer, a theater performer, an actress, singer, and designer. So those were called to me as a performer. So I started exploring those things. I had a little exploration before I was married with some Indian philosophy as well. So a lot of, you know, reincarnation thought and spiritual empowerment stuff. I bumped into Wayne Dyer, actually, way back when I was in high school. He had a book called Your Erroneous Zones, which I picked up out of the library, and I read it, and I fell in love with right then and there. So I had been reading Wayne Dyer for many, many years, actually, until he passed away, and I still listen to his talks and find it quite enlightening. So a lot of people who are witches or pagans have their feet in one, very firmly put into one part of the, that's my phone ringing, but we're going to ignore that. Their feet are firmly planted inside of the New Age movement. And I think if there wasn't a New Age movement, a lot of us wouldn't have found paganism or witchcraft at all. So there's that. Anyway, so from that, I started to explore and learn, and I was at the time working with animals because that was a sort of a day job of mine, and I was working in Manhattan at the time in a veterinary hospital. This is way back in 1996 when my son was very small, and I was working across the street from a store called Enchantments on East 9th Street right off of First Avenue. And I was a receptionist in the front of this veterinary hospital, which is still there right across the street. And the reception area was in the basement. So I was able to look up, you know, like from the first floor up through a staircase. And the only thing I could see almost all the time that I was sitting there was Enchantments. So I could see the half moon, a sign which they put up every day. And I could see when they were open and see when they were closed. I had been in there once just before I got married the first time. For a tarot card reading. Because a friend of mine worked there, and she had recommended I do it before I get married, and she was what was called a pagan, a war witch. I went and listened to nothing the woman said because I was terrified, thinking I was in the lair of the devil. So there was I, sitting across the street from this place. And one thing I remembered about it was I had bought a book that day when I had my first reading some years before this, and the book smelled of the place, and I kept it for years just sniffing it. I mean, it was an amazing smell in there. There was incense and herbs, and there was an oil bar in the back that they made magical candles at. So the place was immensely reeking with beauty, and my book smelled just like it. I never read that book. I just kind of grabbed it because it was red and about sex, which is something, as a Leo, I quite enjoy. And so I kept it and smelled it for years. Anyway, so here I am many years later, 5 or 6 years later, staring at this half moon go up every day. At the time, I really didn't have a lot of money. And so even though I did want to go and explore the store, I couldn't really, I thought I couldn't afford to go in. So I saved up some money and I said to myself, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to ask for a book. I was going to ask for one book. I'm going to probably save up a lot of money. And at this time, this was $20 I saved up. Cause as I said, I was really not doing well financially. So I saved up this $20 and I went across the street and I opened the door. And as I did so, I said, okay, I'm going to hell in a handbasket, but I'm going. And so I stopped at the counter, stuttering and mumbling and terrified, afraid to look at this woman in the face. And I said to her, I need a book about the goddess. And she said, here, right behind you, it's called The Spiral Dance by Starhawk. You should read that. It's a great book. You will love it. Well, I bought the book with shaking hands. I devoured it in maybe 2 days. I began doing rituals almost immediately out of the book and chanting. And, you know, it has, if you know anything about that work, it's a political bent and it's a bit feminist. And it was, at the time, it truly appealed to me. And I'll be careful with my peas. I do have a spit thing, but I don't have it on. Sorry. So that appealed to me, and I did it. I had some really intense spiritual experiences during that time, and I was very pleased with them, although I was quite terrified. But in the meantime, I put up an altar, and I started finding, you know, God forms and goddess forms that I thought might work for me, and symbols of the four elements. And so I got a little bit deeper into magic at that time and paganism in general. So from there, I saved more money. And then almost every week, or sometimes more, I would go in there and buy books. I eventually bought, I think, every single book they have had. I'm sure there's tons more. In the process of this study, I met a very interesting man in the store. His name was Joe. His name is Joe Zukowski. He was working there at the time behind the counter, and he was quite an interesting guy. Long hair, and he had this lovely amount of, well, a tremendous amount of pendants around his neck at all times. He was extremely knowledgeable, very funny, extremely opinionated, and I took to him almost immediately. I'm not sure he ever liked me, but I liked him right away. I thought he was warm and fun and like an old wizard. So I started talking to him. I'd read a book and come in and discuss it. Or he'd say to me, okay, now you've read that book, now get these two. So I ended up listening to him and taking as many books in as I possibly could. And one day he said to me, you know, we're doing a grove here in the backyard, and you should come. It's free. And you're just going to, you know, go through 8 months of training in witchcraft and Wicca, and you should come. I was like, oh my God. Oh my goddess. Yes. So at the time I had a friend who was also exploring this with me, because I just mentioned it to her. She was working with me in the veterinary hospital as well. And she's like, yes, yeah, this sounds cool. We should do this. Let's do this together. And so we did. Yes, we did. I spent an amazing 8 months in that backyard, which for anybody else who wasn't involved in this stuff might say, it's like just a backyard of a store. But to me, it was a magical grove where I sat first with over 100 people in this very small yard on a very cold spring day. Yeah. And then eventually, by the time it was Lomnasa, which is August 1st, it was just like six of us or seven of us left, a core. And from that core, I found my brother, Rob, and my sister, of course, Margaret, who formed a little working, learning coven with me. And so for the first year after that was over, they and I, or 2 years, I think it was, worked very deeply and very eclectically, examining all sorts of pagan thought and goddesses and gods from all over the world in all sorts of formats, and doing magic every moon, every full moon, every new moon, every quarter moon, every moment. You know, we did every Sabbath. We invited friends. We made parties. It was amazing. It was amazing. So Margaret and I continued. Rob left New York City, unfortunately, and he's still my brother, although he's very far away. We can't do ritual. He's still my brother, and I still adore him. But he's gone, and Margaret and I went on and started going from enchantments, because we ran out of books to buy, to Barnes & Noble, where there were more books. And we bought more books, and she'd read one, and then I'd read it. And we decided to take up specializations. I had been reading tarot since I was about 13 years old, or even earlier, because my grandmother and my great-grandmother read cards for people. So I had been reading. My Italian side is a strega family, which is a witchcraft family for many, many generations. So cards weren't foreign to me, but I did go into a deeper study of them along the lines of Jung, and also studying all kinds of Crowleyan thought on tarot. So from there, I also said to my friend Margaret, my coven mate, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to study herbalism. And so that would be my specialty. We used to take a specialty per year. Well, I've been doing tarot since 1996, so it's a long year. Anyway, I started reading about herbs as a medicinal format, and then I got into herbs and magic. And then I realized that herbs for magic are the same herbs for healing. They do pretty much the same things, only you say it in a different way. And that's what a lot of my podcasts will be about, different herbs. Instead of writing, I was doing that for a while. I've been writing articles, and it's killing me. It's just too hard. I'd rather speak. And people don't want to read as much, because I can talk to you in your ears on the train or in your car or in your bedroom, and you don't have to sit with, you know, article after article of very thick information. But I will always put up stuff when I do give you information, links and footnotes and whatever else.